Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven. Stay driven.
Shit, I'm about to take them back to the 90s, man. 1990.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Bear Backpack. Today, we're going to be talking about classic American folktale, and that is the story of the folklore slash urban in rural Kentucky. And it's our story can be traced to a railroad bridge over Popelick Creek in the Fisherville neighborhood of Louisville, Kentucky. Now, there's numerous urban legends that exist about this creature's origins and it's the method that it employs to claim its victims. But for starters, let's get a brief description of what the Popelick Monster is said to be. Now, the Popelick Monster is a legendary part man, part goat, or sometimes part sheep creature, reported to live beneath a Norfolk Southern Railroad trestle over Floyd's Fork Creek in the Fisherville area near Louisville, Kentucky. Now, in most accounts, the Popelick Monster, which happens to be, again, named after the Popelick Creek below the train trestle, appears as a human-goat hybrid with a grotesquely deformed body of a man. It has powerful legs, an alabaster-skinned face with an aquiline nose and wide-set eyes. Short, sharp horns protrude from the forehead of this being and are nestled in its long, greasy hair that match the color of the fur on its legs. Now, there are numerous urban legends which exist about this creature's origins, as I said before, and the method that it employs to capture its victims. According to some accounts, the creature either uses a form of hypnosis or voice mimicry to lure trespassers to the trestle to meet their death before an oncoming train. Other stories claim that the monster jumps down from the trestle onto the roofs of cars passing beneath it. Yet still, we have other stories that tell it attacks its victims with a blood-stained axe. And it has also been said that the very sight of the creature is so unsettling that all of those who look upon it while walking across the high trestle are driven to leap off. Still, we have other stories associated with this being, which explain the creature's origins. Some claim that it is a human goat hybrid, and that it was a circus freak who vowed revenge after being mistreated. In one version of the tale, the creature escaped after a train derailed on the trestle, which actually links the Popelick Monster to the legend of the ghost train, which is also said to have been sighted on this trestle. Still, other stories persist. One version of the tale claims that the monster is really the twisted reincarnated form of a farmer who sacrificed goats in exchange for satanic powers. Now, the Popelick Monster, having no actual reported sightings, most likely exists only in the realm of myth and legend. The infamous Popelick train trestle has become a favorite spot for young kids, particularly teens, especially ones conducting lighthearted bravery tests with someone dared to climb the trestle. This has not always been fun and games, as this has led to the death of a number of young people. In the summer of 1987, a young man fell to his death from the trestle after evading an oncoming train, and this fate was met again by another young boy some 13 years later. Now, many locals claim surrounding this trestle are directly linked to the Popelick Monster's presence there, stating that the Popelick Monster's hypnotic gaze drives men mad, and that its voice continually lures people to their untimely death. Now, It is said by many in the area that, according to several accounts, the creature itself uses a form of hypnosis or voice mimicry, that is, to lure trespassers close to the trestle or onto it to meet their deaths before an approaching train. However, now the public trestle is not traversed by trains. So later stories claim that the monster jumps down from the trestle to terrify passerbys, and then is often said that the very sight of this creature is so unsettling that all those who look upon it while walking across the trestle or in the general vicinity of it are driven to leap to their deaths. Now, the legends have turned the area into a site for legend tripping. There have been a number of deaths and accidents again at this particular trestle since its construction, despite the presence of an 8-foot fence that's been put there to keep thrill seekers out, people continue to go there. There is a very common misconception among amateur paranormal investigators that the trestle is abandoned and no longer used. However, in reality, the bridge carries a major rail artery into Louisville. Now, heavy freight trains do still cross the bridge several times daily, but as for, commercial trains don't really go through there anymore, but they still, have heavy freight trains that do traverse it. So it's easy for someone to get caught atop it while an oncoming train bears down on them. Norfolk Southern Railway over the years has urged citizens not to climb the trestle, saying that if they are caught, they will be reported and they will be arrested. Now, legend is very unique because it has been around for quite a while now. And we've kind of touched on the basics of it. But let's dig a little bit deeper, shall we? Now, the public monster itself was said to have been originally described as a large humanoid creature with furry goat-like legs, pale skin, wide-set eyes, and horns that protrude from its fur, greasy fur atop its head. Now, the monster has often been referred to not only as the Popelik monster, but also as Goatman, even Sheepman. Now, according to original tellings of the tale, the beast was originally captured in the wilds of Canada around the end of the 19th century. The Goatman became the star of a circus freak show until an electrical storm caused a train derailment. This devil-like creature was then supposedly the only survivor of this derailment. Instead of returning to the vast northern wilderness from which it came, the Goatman made his way to the Popelik Trestle, and it is said that he resides there even now. The monster is said to possess a wide array of supernatural abilities and is said to lure people by means of mimicry, telepathy, and or hypnosis, as we sort of mentioned. Once a victim is lured to the trestle, the Popelik monster uses its own abhorrent physical appearance to frighten its intended victims, causing them to leap or fall to their demise. However, some versions of the legend insist that the monster itself waits for a train to approach, then from beneath the trestle holds its victim, its charmed victim, down until the train runs them over, making it all the more terrifying figure. Climbing onto the trestle for a glimpse of the Popelik monster has long been a recreational activity for reckless Louisville youth. While even entertaining the idea of such an absurd creature to many outsiders might make even the most ardent paranormal enthusiasts feel foolish, the Popelik monster has killed at least 3 people. This legend has actually led to at least 3 deaths for sure, 3 confirmed deaths. On December 30th, in 1988, the Louisville Courier-Journal ran a front-page article entitled Trestle of Death, in which it records 2 very specific tragedies involving the legend. One, Jack J.C. Charles Baum, The second, a 17-year-old Spalding University student, was struck and killed by a train on February 18th of 1987 while crossing the trestle. He has since been eulogized at the site of his death. JC, we love and miss you, is painted on the trestle's base. In May of 1987, 19-year-old David Wayne Bryant died of injuries obtained in 1986 when he jumped from the trestle to dodge an oncoming locomotive. Now, versions of the legend have been in circulation as far back as the 1960s, and the area around the trestle was a very popular party location for area youth. It took the Louisville premiere of the 1988 short film The Legend of the Popelick Monster to persuade the railroad it needed something more daunting than a trampled chicken wire to keep the public away from the trestle. Now, the night of said premiere, two boys were arrested when they attempted to climb out onto the trestle. Immediately thereafter, they erected a 6-foot-high security fence around it in the hopes of keeping people away. However, this along with a heightened police presence, still hasn't kept people from trying to catch glimpses of this mysterious being. In 2000, a 19-year-old Mount Washington man named Nicholas Jewell was shaken from the trestle by a train's vibrations as he had tried to hang from the trestle to avoid being hit by a train. As we can see, this is a pretty enduring story. Now, the trestle itself, and it's important to note, is roughly 772 feet from end to end. And if you're stranded up there with a train coming, it's basically impossible to outrun the locomotive, and the engineer has no way of stopping in time. So people have gone and gotten really close to where this is. I mentioned the film in 1988, and this is where people actually, the railroad company actually believed that this really did, had really at this point gotten really out of hand. So again, I mentioned that the Popelick Monster was the subject of a film in 1988, made by Louisville filmmaker Ron Schlidnicht, and it's called The Legend of the Popelick Monster. It's a 16-minute, $6,000 film that premiered on December 29th in 1988 at the Uptown Theater. While most of the film was shot at the Popelick Trestle, there were scenes showing the characters up on the trestle that were shot at another, much safer location. It was after this, Norfolk Southern Railway officials were very upset about this, the release of this film, because they believed that this would encourage teenagers to visit the trestles, and of course they were right. They found one scene in particular dangerously misleading. In the scene, the main character, a high school student, narrowly escapes an approaching train by hanging suspended from the side of the trestle. In reality, this would be very difficult, as there are few people that would have the strength to hang on for 5 to 7 minutes, 7 minutes it takes for a long train to clear this 772-foot trestle. In addition, the vibrations from the train are incredibly strong, and they are so strong that the ground beneath the trestle shakes as the train passes, making hanging from the trestle to avoid being hit highly improbable. Because railroad officials were very worried that the film would add to the death toll, Norfolk Southern issued a statement read at the premiere which warned of the trestle's dangers and informed the audience that anyone caught on the trestle could be prosecuted for trespassing. And I mentioned before, despite their warnings, people continued to try and go up there. We even had in April of last year, a young 26-year-old from Ohio died after being hit by a train while searching for the notorious beast. Her boyfriend, who accompanied her, survived by hanging onto the side of the trestle, but only barely. And the story of the monster was also featured in an episode of Destination America's Monsters and Mysteries in America entitled Ozarks. Important to note with the Popelik monster that it is one, it is but one story that we have involving a goat man. And it's in a very similar part of, it's in a very close proximity to this, that we also have the urban legend, the goat man, in Beltsville, Maryland, which is really not all that far away from Kentucky. And very closely to the tale that we get of the Popelik monster. Now, according to the local legend in Beltsville, Maryland, the goat man is an axe-wielding half-goat, half-man that was once a scientist who worked at the Beltsville Agricultural Research Center. Legend has it that he was experimenting on goats until one experiment backfired, and he was, of course, mutated, becoming goat-like himself. He then began attacking cars with an axe, roaming the back roads of Beltsville, Maryland. A variation of the legend tells that the goat man is an old hermit who lives in the woods, seen walking alone at night along Fletchertown Road. Another variation of the story has it that the goat man was the result of a very early DNA experiment conducted by a scientist named Stephen Fletcher, though other variations suggest a more supernatural origin involving, of course, the devil himself. Now, according to University of Maryland folklorist Barry Pearson, the Goatman legends began long, long ago and were further popularized in 1971 when the death of a dog man by local residents. Pearson says bored teenagers keep the Goatman legend alive by repeating the story and suggesting that the creature attacks couples frequenting the local lover's lane and subsequently stirring interest in sites like Fletchertown Road. Additionally, we look at the Popelik monster itself. This is another very, when we look at the story in Beltsville, it's another rural area that ordinarily, you know, you kind of, it's one of those places you kind of probably just walk, you know, walk right past or drive right by it, and you wouldn't even really know anything was particularly special about it until somebody told you one of these stories. But oddly enough, when we look at this story, we can take this story a step further. In fact, as there are so many tellings of the Popelik monster that we don't, we never really, one of the things that's particularly interesting about these American urban legends is that they have so many different origin stories. And this makes, this gives, you would think that this would kind of cut into the staying power of stories, but actually it's quite the opposite. When we look at a story like the Legend of Popelik, have such enduring power because minor details change, and depending on the teller of the story can be incredibly painted in incredibly broad strokes, as I've kind of painted it so far, or it can have even deeper implications and even and an even more rich background, which we're about to get into in a moment. But before I get into one of the more rich tellings of the legend of the Popelik monster, because there are a number of them, but I want to get into one of the more rich ones that some people claim can be traced all the way back to the 1930s. I'd like to go to a commercial break. If you don't know, here at Totally Driven, we've got a proud new sponsor. He's funny, he's wacky, he's crazy, and he's totally driven. Check out ChrisFraleyPresents.com for the latest in Chris Fraley comedy.
I'm Black Man, saving man's eyes, one stereotype at a time.
To the Black Mobile. To the corner of Martin Luther King Street
and Malcolm X Boulevard. Pronto.
Will Black Man make it to the crime on time? Or will he be on CPT? Stay tuned at ChrisFraleyPresents.com.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in Southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Hope you guys enjoyed a little break from me. But of course you didn't enjoy the break from me because that's what you're here for. You're here for me. And I thank you for being here for more me. So, we were talking about some of the various stories associated with the Popelick Monster, the film that was made, the short film made about it, and the reaction by the railroad company, which owns the trestle in question. But I want to talk now one of the stories of the Popelick Monster that we haven't talked about. And it's one that goes ways, goes back quite a ways. We've even talked a little bit about how other rural areas, other small towns in rural areas have talked about the goat master, the goat man, or, various half man, half goat stories in the area. But we didn't talk about one of these other variations of the legend. So there's a sort of a cornerstone of truth claimed by many urban legends, but the story of the Popelick Monster is said to begin with a man who called himself Colonel Beauregard Schildknecht. Now, although there's no record of evidence that he ever served in any regiment of the armed services or militia, the Colonel Schildknecht was the owner and ringmaster of a traveling circus that performed across the heartland of America and into the Deep South territories. Beginning in the 1930s, pardon me. Now, Schildknecht's reputation was one of ill repute in the carnival business, and he was considered to be a liar, a cheat, and an all-around charlatan. And sweeties, children, for those of you who don't know, charlatan is basically a fraud. His crew of carnies and circus clowns were more of a gang of cutthroats and pirates than sideshow entertainers, and every town they visited left behind a series of unsolved thefts, missing persons, and grisly accidental deaths. So they're really charming. They're the perfect carnival. Now, one thunderously stormy night, as always occurs in these stories, it was a dark and stormy night. Ooh. While stopped in a small town near Beltsville, Maryland, the circus's bearded lady, Madame Bristels, discovered an abandoned infant left in a hayfield crate outside her tent. The child was severely malformed, with stubs protruding from its forehead and misshapen legs that ended in what looked more like cloven hooves than human feet. She took the poor creature in, gave it food and shelter, and welcomed it to their merry band of cutthroats. Now, one look at the twisted abomination, and Colonel Schildknecht knew that he had struck gold. He had found the starring attraction for his freak show that would make him rich beyond his wildest imagination. So he took the child and raised it in captivity, never letting it out of his sight or its cage until it could be fully exploited for its grotesque appearance. But, of course, as things tend to happen, this was not to be. Things don't always go to plan. The beast grew in size and strength over the years, its stubs becoming full-sized horns, and its temperament as nasty as the treatment given to it by the cruel circus carnies charged with keeping it imprisoned. It spent most of its life chained to the wall of a cage inside a circus train, whipped brutally daily to keep it subdued and submissive, and fed only gruel and leftover scraps from the midway vendors' grease pits. On one fateful night during a thunderstorm as the one on the night of its birth, the circus train was passing through Fisherville on its way to a performance in Louisville, Kentucky, when a bolt of lightning struck the tracks, causing the train to derail just ahead of the trestle over Poplar Creek. The twisted wreck probably killed most of Schildknecht's crew instantly, but not all of them, since body parts were found as far away as 2 miles from the crash site. What is claimed to have been known for a fact is that the Goat Man survived this tragic train wreck. Oh yes. And finally set free from its life of torture, exploitation, and imprisonment, it took revenge on the survivors by ripping them to shreds. Colonel Schildknecht's body was never recovered, and it was suspected that a few of his cutthroat crew of clowns, circus freaks, and dangerous animals also may have survived the deadly accident, but their bodies were never found. Due to the number of deaths, missing persons, deer and livestock mutilations, and man sightings that have been reported in the ensuing years, locals believe there's good reason to believe in the Goat Man of Poplick. Good reason to believe that he's never left the area. He's believed to have taken up residence in either an underground cave or a ramshackle hut somewhere in the wooded area near the trestle, and his inbred hate of cruel humanity has made him a bloodthirsty and dangerous beast that must be avoided at all costs. For those that dare to trespass into his strange domain have met their fate at his hands. According to the Courier Journal records, at least 2 confirmed deaths in 87 and 88 are a direct result of his interference, and many injuries and close calls have been attributed to the Poplick monster and his protected trestle. The trestle itself rises 90 feet above the Poplar Creek and stretches 772 feet across to the other side. While incapable of human speech, the Goatman is said to be able to mimic human voices and has been known to call out the names of those who have climbed to the top of the trestle in order to lure them out onto the tracks as an oncoming train is approaching around the bend to seal their fate. Again, nights throughout the month of October, and especially during the cycle of the full moon, it is said that the Goatman is most active in the woods and hills surrounding the Poplar Trestle. And those who have attempted to drive beneath the trestle at the stroke of midnight have reported being chased by the beast, who can run at speeds of nearly 60 miles per hour. And more than one report has claimed the loss of a car door handle or bloody claw prints left on the side of their car door after pursuit. In the mid-1970s, there were rumors of a satanic cult, and demonic rituals began circulating in the same area along Poplar Road, and reports of missing dogs and cats, as well as other domestic animals, were suspected of falling prey to satanic blood ceremonies. Many claim that these ceremonies were an attempt to lure out the power of the Goatman and his presence. A mysterious farm known as the Four Winds down the street a few miles from the train trestle was suspected of being owned by a group of Satanists who worshipped the Poplar monster as the living embodiment of Baphomet, the goat of Mendes himself, a mocking of the image of the lamb as the embodiment of Christ who died for the sins of humanity. The Four Winds farm was surrounded by a red and black painted fence through the 80s and into the 90s with a sign at the front gate warning trespassers will be persecuted. Strange tribal drum beats and chanting were often claimed to have been heard in the woods behind the farm's barn. Another potential danger in the area is the group of angry farmers and residents who constantly suffer in fear of the monster's attacks on their livestock and families. Some of these residents should be considered armed and dangerous and may not take kindly to anything or anyone lurking about the area after dark. The legend of the Great Poplar and the haunted railroad trestle it calls its territory have been passed down through the oral tradition and have spread about over three generations of Louisville culture. To this day, people still claim to see the Poplar monster roaming the woods near Poplar Park. And still they say that if you go out near Poplar Trestle in the late eve or find yourself beneath it, beneath the trestle itself after midnight, catch a glimpse of the terrifying visage of the Poplar monster. Locals today still tell stories of the Poplar monster and likely to keep kids away from this area. If you were a teen growing up in any part of Jefferson County, on some weekend you might get together with your friends and sit around telling ghost stories, attempting to spook each other. Sooner or later, according to Jay Gravett, an investigator and writer of local folklore to the area, and a member of the Louisville Ghost Hunter Society, claims that sooner or later someone may eventually mention the monster that has long been rumored to be seen standing atop a 100-foot-high railroad trestle in the eastern part of Louisville. For years, people have reported seeing the creature I've been referring to as the Poplar monster on the trestles over Poplar Creek, It is said that an encounter with this entity is so startling that anyone daring to be brave the walk across the trestle would rather fall the 100-foot drop to the paved road below than stay in the presence of the Poplar monster a second longer. The final legend associated with the Poplar monster is one that we've talked about a little bit, but there's one more that combines it with another tale that's synonymous with this very same trestle. Interestingly enough, is the legend of the ghost train that is rumored to appear on the tracks. A sudden flurry of motion as a train passes overhead along the trestle rails, but yet makes no sound of approach or passage. In the late 1800s, there were rumors of a wild animal roaming the Canadian wilderness abounding. The creature's presence caught the attention of a circus owner by the name of Silas Garner, and he offered a substantial sum for the creature's capture. Having finally had someone track and capture the beast, he began to exhibit the goat monster in his freak show. From town to town they roamed, the monster being the star attraction, until one fateful night, while bound for Louisville, the beast broke free, killing all passengers and leaving only one survivor, the Goat Man. Now, of all the legends associated with Louisville and Jefferson County, this legend is the one that they say is most well known. It is said that after the Goat Man killed all the passengers of the train itself, the souls of the passengers were bound to forever traverse this trestle, caught between our world and the world of the dead, to the will of the Goat Man himself. Now, this is, again, probably the most well-known of all the legends associated with Louisville and Jefferson County. As with any area that it has its fair share of scary tales, we've seen different approaches to this particular tale. As I mentioned earlier, when we look at these tales, oftentimes they just are what they are. They're simply stories. But if we look at this tale in particular, there is a great there's a lot of people dedicated to keeping this tale alive. You have the Ghost Hunter Society. You have people within the area of Popelec, or I should say Louisville, who continue to keep this story alive as a means of, you know, maintaining a hold on sort of, you know, local legend, oral tradition, culture. Interestingly enough, you know, when we talk about these legends, you talk about we've talked about the Chupacabra, and we've talked about the Mothman and the Jersey Devil. You know, the interesting thing about this story is that, unlike these other tales where, you know, what tends to happen is people see this creature or claim to see this creature, it scares the living crap out of them, and then they go and tell other people, and the story just goes on and on and on. But there's oftentimes really little evidence with the Jersey Devil. You know, it sort of shows up, scares people, but it doesn't kill anyone. Nobody dies as a consequence. And then you have the Chupacabra, which tends to target, you know, animals. And while people claim that, you know, the Chupacabra completely drains, you know, its victims of their blood and marrow and all that good stuff, oftentimes, you know, there's not really very much evidence. And, you know, people don't tend to die from the presence of the Chupacabra. But the Popelec monster is one of those rare urban legends that's actually led to the deaths of people. And not necessarily because, you know, the Popelec monster actually exists in comparison to these others as not being, you know, supposedly, you know, existing. But no, because of the area that the Popelec monster calls its home, the legend itself is actually kind of dangerous. Now, because while it is meant as sort of a, probably as, you know, a scary tale to keep kids away from what is a dangerous area, it actually had the reverse effect. You know, people actually went out and tried to seek this thing out, stupidly, I might add, and got themselves killed. legend has led to a number of deaths. And this has made it a little bit more, has added to it, I would think, a little bit more mystique. When we look at stories about, you know, El Chupacabra or the Jersey Devil, these stories are spooky. Sure, I mean, there's, you know, oh, the, you know, the Jersey Devil shows up, and it's the, you know, the spawn of Satan and the result of black magics practiced by a disgraced family from a puritanical, you know, sort of village in New England. That's spooky. Yeah, that's a scary story. And then you see this being and it flies around and it's ultimately a very polarizing and intimidating figure that people are claiming to see. But the Jersey Devil, you know, it's not leading to people going out looking for it and getting them killed. You know, you look at a story like the story of Bigfoot, you know, people don't tend to die, you know, going to look for Bigfoot. It has happened, but it's very rare. People get hurt, people, you know, get sick or, you know, maybe get in, you know, suffer sustained minor injuries going out foot hunting. But the Pope Blood Monster has actually led to people's deaths, not only because people have fallen from this trestle as a result of trying to find this creature, but also because people are so enamored with the story. You would think that a story such as the one that I've talked about and the multiple variations on this story would keep people wanting to stay away from this area. You know, rumors of satanic ritual, rumors of half man, half animal abominations roaming the woods and looking for victims. You would think that would keep people away from a place. On the contrary, these little thrill-seeking punks decided that it's even that just makes it even more appealing. So one of the things that adds to the uniqueness of the Pope Lick Monster is the fact that despite the tale being kind of, you know, the multiple tellings of the story all being rather negative, being rather spooky in nature, it simply encourages people to go check it out and investigate it, which I find very fascinating. Because when I hear the story of the Pope Lick Monster, there's nothing about it in any way, shape, or form that makes me say, you know what, that sounds like a good idea. A half goat man, a goat man wandering around with a blood-stained axe, looking for people to potentially murder. You know what? That is my idea of a good Saturday night. I'm going to go hang out with that guy. I don't even care if it's a half goat man or not. Anybody wandering around with a blood-stained axe looking for victims, he's not a good friend for you. You know, these young people in this area definitely needed more stuff to do. Listen, this just speaks volumes to me about the lack of things there must have been to do in this area around Louisville at the time when people were really going out and checking this out. You know, I understand, you know, the idea of thrill seeking, the, you know, the idea of, you know, the rush of going out and, you know, putting yourself at risk. My father, for those of you less familiar with me, my father is a professional daredevil for many years. And he's told me many times about the rush that he gets from, you know, performing a jump and performing in front of people, and, you know, challenging himself to take on these, to take on jumps and doing it bigger and better than other people. And so I can understand the mentality of those people to a degree of, you know, thrill seeking, trying to, you know, get out there and challenge yourself and pitch yourself in this, against this, you know, potentially dangerous situation that you would be in climbing this train trestle. Story, the half-goat man that wanders around looking to murder people in an act of vengeance against humanity. That part, you know, climbing a train trestle and trying to suspend yourself from the train tracks to survive as it passes, you know, that sounds like, you know, some typical, you know, that sounds like some crazy, but, you know, somewhat normal thrill-seeking. But going to the place to confront an entity that is said to be able to hypnotize people and convince them to jump to their deaths from the same thing, that is really crazy stuff right there. That is borderline madness right there. But, you know, I guess it takes all kinds, you know, it takes all kinds to get through this. The other aspect of this I want to talk about is the film, which we haven't talked about yet. So let's take a look at the Popelik Monster film. So this film was made in 1988, and it was written and directed by Ron Schildknecht. And it covers, and, you know, basically the basic summary is the Popelik Monster, which is a local folk legend once only kept alive by word of mouth, confirmed by the excitable and incredulous minds of adolescents and emphasized by the ominous presence of a 100-foot-high railroad trestle in Louisville, Kentucky, one crisp October evening of long ago finds three teenagers on a quest for beer, romance, danger, and a rendezvous with the goat man or sheep man. Now, that's the basic plot of the Popelik Monster film. But the film itself came out in 1988. And by the way, you can find this film on YouTube, I might add. The film itself, though, came out in 1988 and features, you know, basically a you know, three person cast, really. These three teens go out. They go to the train trestle. They party. They dare each other to climb up there, and it gets spooky. The film itself made about $6,000 at the box office and received a local release. The film runs about 16 minutes and it's in black and white. If you go on IMDb, you can find some reviews for it. It's been reviewed as half out of four by some. You know, I read one review that said while the film is mildly entertaining, it's also really cheesy, but pretty short. But that's basically the gist of the Popelik Monster, guys. It's a local legend that's really gathered a lot of steam, gained a lot of following from people in this area. People have talked about it a great deal, kept the story alive for years. It's a story that's got multiple sort of origins, and you know, one thing. One thing I do like to impress upon people is that the Popelik monster, like so many of the stories we tell our tell today, it's not uncommon. It's okay for them to have these multiple tellings of the tale, and it's normal for that to happen, particularly when you look at their story, because it is part of the oral tradition here in America. We have a number of stories that are passed down through the oral tradition and retold and rehashed over the years, and this is one of them. And the fact that it has these, you know, multiple sort of origin stories, that's kind of a universal theme when you get into oral traditions and you get into stories that are being passed down from generation to generation, particularly spooky stories. What makes them, what really sells the story and what really makes it scary is the crafter of the tale. And the tellers of the tales are what really keep the story alive. And everybody has their own unique twist on how these stories should be told, and they sell it for the effect that they're trying to go for. But if you're interested in looking up more on the Popelik monster, you can start with the film. By the way, has a remastered version, I might add. The Legend of the Popelik Monster is a 20th anniversary edition, which is digitally remastered with better picture and better sound, and can be acquired on DVD. And it has never before seen footage with a music video. So you can take a look at that at ronshieldconnect.com films, or ronshieldconnect.com/films/Popelik Monster. If you're interested in checking out the 20th anniversary remastered film, there you go. You can check it out there. It's only 16 minutes long. Other things you can investigate if you're interested. I'd recommend taking a look at the Popelik Monster entry in the Encyclopedia of Louisville from the University Press of Kentucky. There's a entry in there written by Johnny Claver. You can take a look at the archives of the Courier Journal, which has charted the various deaths associated with the trestle. Also, Monstro Bizarro, Monsters and Mysteries in America by Lyle Blackburn, written with Rue Morgue. They tend to have a lot of interesting local legends, urban myths, and spooky stories that they've collected with Rue Morgue. And you can even take a look at Gregory Burkhart's The Bizarre Legend of Louisville, Kentucky's Popelik Monster, with FearNet. And of course, I would be remiss if I didn't say that there are a number of websites dedicated to this story. You can take look at an entry by J. Nathan Couch on the cultofweird.com for a little bit of a crash course in Popelik Monster history with his article, Popelik Monster, Searching for Louisville's Legend, which came out in July of 2013. You can also take a look at LouisvilleHalloween.com and the Legend of Popelik. They've got a very long article charting the tellings of the tale that I read for you guys. Interesting place to go look for all kinds of stuff associated with that. And of course, you can look at some of the various Halloween festivals they have there and get yourself some tickets and go check some of that stuff out. It's always neat when you get to go check out something cool like that. But that's all I've got for you guys today. A little bit of a shorter show than usual. We got through everything pretty quick.
I hope you guys enjoyed it. Talking about a local legend. I don't have any call-ins, so we're gonna call it good. I think we've hit all the key points. Everybody, one quick thing before I leave you. Of course, you guys will want to catch me live on Sunday. Special announcement to make about Sunday's show with Straight Football Talk. We will be here at 9 a.m. of course, but we're going to be joined by Awesome Austin Thomas. He's going to be in studio. I've been informed, so we're going to have the gang is all going to be there this time. We're not going to have to worry about the call in. As far as I know, there are no guests for Straight Football Talk this week, but we're going to be talking a lot about injuries, trades, the impact of some of the trades, and some of the surprises over the last week. And, of course, I mentioned before on the last show, but I'll mention it again. It's a shame when you see people get injured. It's a very physical sport. But you see somebody get injured. Breaking news for those of you unfamiliar, but Deshaun Watson actually suffered a season-ending ACL injury, which is a shame. And then, of course, we talked about Zach Miller. I haven't seen anything updated on him, but he suffered a very severe injury on Sunday, and he's still, sort of battling to keep his leg. So your hopes and your thoughts ought to go out to him and his family right now. No matter where you stand politically, it's always a shame when somebody's livelihood is at risk and their health is at risk, their future is at risk when they get injured so bad. So, that's all I've got for you guys today. Hope you guys keep those young men in your prayers and in your thoughts. It's just a shame when people, when these things happen, people get hurt all the time. But it's a shame when you see somebody with promise and talent get hurt like that and, in seemingly preventable situations. But, life has a way of throwing a lot of curveballs our way. And, you hope for the best for those people. But that's all I've got for you guys. Hope you enjoyed it. I will catch you all on Sunday, 9 a.m., with Straight Football Talk. Don't forget to tune in. Awesome Thomas is going to be there with me and Teddy the Bear Tate, and it should be a good time. We are taking football back for the fans. See you guys all on Sunday. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, guys.